I've got three readings. Well, we'll start off with three readings. And then I'm going to drill down on three words. And we'll see where we're going. Can we, first of all, please, can we go into Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Acts, Romans, Corinthians. That's about as far as I go before I get stuck. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And they will, for the context here, we'll break in at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us this ministry of reconciliation, to the end that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Listen to this verse. For he hath made him, that's the Lord Jesus, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn back to Luke chapter 4, please. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, just for context. This is the Lord Jesus. Luke 4 and 16 says, and he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Turn back two chapters to Luke chapter 2 for our title today. Luke chapter 2. And for the sake of context, we'll break. Luke chapter 2 and 48. And when they, that's Mary and Joseph and the family, when they saw Jesus, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not that saying which he spake unto them. And we'll look to the Lord to bless his reading of his word. Now, there's a big long word in there that we will get to, reconciliation. But don't worry too much about that today. At the minute, I want to think of one title. My title is what the Lord Jesus asked Mary and Joseph. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, I've read that loads of times, and probably you have read that loads of times. And the thought occurred to me, my father's business. So if I went round every person here, and I said, can you tell me, please, what my father's business is? And you would come up with different thoughts to me. But I want to look simply on three thoughts of what Jesus said about his father's business. I want to think of the business of why Jesus came and what he came to do. And I want to think of it in three titles. Three titles. I want to think, first of all, that my Father's business was to show what God was like, the revelation of God. The revelation of God. I want to think of, when we get to Luke chapter 4, I want to think of the reach of the gospel. Who is this message for? Is it for well-to-do folk? Is it for the rich? Is it for the poor? Who is this message? The Father's business. This message that Jesus brings to men and women and boys and girls in that day. This message that we bring to you today. Who is this message for? What is the reach of the gospel? And I want to think about that this evening. And then, for this big long word. Now, I was never that good at English. A lot of times I wasn't at school, so that didn't help either. But anyway, there's a big long word, and I am loath to use big long words in the gospel because sometimes it complicates things. And you think, oh, Robert, you're going so well to use that big long word with about 40 letters in it. I can't understand it. So we're going to look, and we're going to get an education, and I'm not an English teacher. We're going to think of the reconciliation of the guilty. And that's how it appealed to me, so I might get around when I get home, but reconciliation. What is reconciliation? We read in Corinthians that we have received this ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in the world, reconciling sinners to himself, not imputing their iniquities. And we're going to think about that, because that's what the gospel is. That God in heaven has sent his precious and only Son into the world. And the Bible tells us he came into the world not to condemn the world. But the very fact that there was a holy man in this earth has condemned us all. The very fact that there's a man that God could open heaven and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I find all my delight, condemned us all. Here was a perfect man. Adam was in the garden, and Adam fell through greed, through disobedience, through whatever reason he fell. And here was the second Adam. Here was the Lord from heaven, a man who brought pleasure and glory and honor to his Father. And he says, I must be about my Father's business. My Father's business. What does that mean to you? So here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's, what is he, 12 or 14 years old. He goes up to the feast of the Passover, and they're there for two or three days. The whole tribe goes up. It must have been quite a community thing to go up there. And they all head back down to Nazareth again. And the Lord Jesus wasn't in the crowd. And his mother and Joseph sought him. Where is he? Where's Jesus? Where's he got to? And they found him after 3 days sitting in the temple, asking the religious leaders questions, telling the religious leaders the law of God. And they were amazed at his understanding. And Mary says to him, where were you? We've sought for you. We're worried about you. And he says, do you not know? I must be about my Father's business. See, this whole gospel is the Father's business. This whole gospel is God's business. This whole message that we bring to you isn't from us. It's from God in heaven. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. This is God's message. This is God's business. And God has sent his only Son into this world. And God has sent his only Son to the cross. And God has sent his only Son into judgment to bear our sins on his own body. And this is God's business. And I'm going to put it to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's important. If it's important to God, it should be important to us. One day we will stand before Almighty God and we will give account. What did you do with the gospel? Oh, well, I just went my own way. I did my own thing. And the Lord Jesus will be there, not as your Savior. The Lord Jesus will be in there in that day and said, you had an opportunity to believe the gospel. You had an opportunity to turn from your sins. You had an opportunity to be born again. And you turned back. You turned away. You were happy where you are. You know, if you're happy in your sins, I don't have a message for you. And not only that, when the Lord Jesus came, I don't want to get into the second point, when the Lord Jesus came, you know what he said? I didn't come to call the righteous. So if you're in this room and you're quite happy, I'm okay. I'll take my chances. It doesn't really matter. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a message for you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus doesn't have a message for you today. But if you come in searching, I'm not right. I'm not right before God.
I need to get right before God. I need to know my sins are forgiven. With the brevity of time and everything going on in the world, I need to know that if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, that I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If that's your attitude today, I can tell you that it's the Father's business that you would meet Christ today. My Father's business, the revelation of Jesus Christ. How could we ever know what God was like? The Lord Jesus said himself, he said, God is a spirit. I can't see a spirit. Can you see a spirit? God is a spirit. God is up in heaven. God is holy. God is eternal. And God is out with time and measurement and all these things. And God is up in heaven. And yet the Father's business is that God would be revealed. The Word, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And it says the Word became flesh. What does that mean? That the very Word of God took flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of that virgin. He came into this earth. And here we see God. God is a baby. God is a boy. God is a young man. God is a young adult. And we see God as a sacrifice on Calvary's cross. What do you think when we talk about the revelation of God? How could I ever know what God was like? How could I ever know that God cared? How could I ever know that God thought upon those who were down and out of the way? Well, the Lord Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. That's what the Lord Jesus said. No man or woman. A lot of women claim to see God at these times, but that's another story for another day. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So if you want to know, friends, what God is like, you get your Bible and you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will find what God is like. You will find that God cares. You will find that God knows. You will find that God is holy. And you will find that God cannot overlook sin. But he can love the sinner and provide a way of escape. Oh, the revelation of God. I want to think too, ladies and gentlemen, of the reach of the gospel. Who is this gospel for? Is this only for religious people? Is this only for children who've been brainwashed in gospel halls and churches that come because they have to come or their mum will clip them around the ear? Is this only who the gospel is for? Well, my friends, we read in Luke chapter 4. And Jesus said, my Father's business is to bring this news to the poor. To bring this good news to the poor. What did we read? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's poor before God. People with no hope. People with nothing. People on the poverty line in spiritual things. And this gospel, the Father's business is that this gospel is preached to the poor. I don't know where you are spiritually, but if you don't have Christ, you're bankrupt. If you don't have Christ in your life, you don't have anything. If you don't have Christ in your life, you're poor before God. And this gospel has been preached, the reach of the gospel is preached to the poor. But not only is it preached to the poor, it's preached to the brokenhearted. I tell you, if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will see a Savior who loves, and a Savior who cares, a Savior who comes to the grave of his friend. And the shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And the Jews looking on, as Jesus weeps at the death of his friend, as he sees the grief of two sisters whose only brother and only breadwinner in the house has been put in that grave 4 days ago. And Jesus comes and he stands outside that tomb and Jesus weeps and the Jews look at that. And what did they say? Behold how he loved him. This is the reach of the gospel. The reach of the gospel that Jesus comes for the brokenhearted. Have you got a broken heart before God? This is who the Father's business is, that you would listen and respond to the gospel. Not only that, but you know, you meet folk. I met a man the other night in coming out of Kelleholm into Kirkconnell. And I'm not too sure what the polite word for been drunk is, but he was well oiled, shall we say. And he started, now, I don't think this is a bad word, so if this doesn't make it online, it might be perceived as a bad word, but in Northern Ireland, if you start rabbiting on about nothing, we would say you're slobbering, right? So I don't know. He was basically slobbering. I've got this and I've got that and I've got the other. I've got this great big TV and I've got a great big house and I've this, that and the other. And this, that and the other. And I asked him, he was on, and then he looked at me. I says, can I ask you one question? Huh. I says, are you happy? And it went on a bit more. And I said, you need Jesus in your life. It's the only thing that's going to bring happiness. He had everything. He told me he had everything. And you know what, friends? He had nothing. Because he doesn't have Christ. But Jesus came. That man is a captive to drink. And maybe other things. That man, I see him quite often sitting around Kelleholm, sitting on a bench all by himself. And he's an utter picture of misery. He's captive. He's held captive and he's happy where he is. But the Lord Jesus says, I am come to preach deliverance to the captives. What a message. There's a man could be delivered by the grace of God, delivered by the power of God, delivered by the blood of Christ, if only he would repent and believe the gospel. Because the Father's business was that Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. Not only did he come for the poor, not only did he come for the brokenhearted, not only did he come to preach deliverance to the captives, but recovering of sight to the blind. Blind. Blinded towards God. Blind, heading towards hell and destruction. And Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind and set at liberty. To set at liberty those that are crushed. What about you tonight? What about you this afternoon? Before God, I want you to answer to yourself honestly. Where do you stand before a holy God? Are you poor? Are you brokenhearted? Are you captive in sin? Are you blind towards God and towards Christ? Are you burdened down? Jesus Christ came to set you free. That is the reach of the gospel. And just in case you think, well, that's a bit narrow, Robert. If you think that's narrow, we'll need a wee chat afterwards. But anyway, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say when he came to Jericho? He says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Always coming to seek and save. The lost. Are you lost? I don't know if I'm lost, Robert. No, I'm not. What does that mean? Well, have you ever trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to the foot of the cross and realized that on that cross Christ died for my sins? And I simply believe that if he died for me, I don't need to die. If he took my place, I don't need to die for my sins. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. If you've come to that experience, you're not lost. But if you haven't trusted in Christ, you're lost. You're lost before God. And Christ said, I'm come to seek and to save the lost. That's a glorious message of the gospel. And in case you think that's a bit narrow, I'm not lost. I'm just going to leave you with one final thought. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, the reach of the gospel gives me great joy to tell you that you, Christ, can be your Savior in this room. Now, onto a big long word.
Reconciliation. What in the world is reconciliation? So we've done the revelation of God. We've done the reach of the gospel. And I want to think, ladies and gentlemen, for a couple of minutes or more of the reconciliation. Reconciling the guilty. Reconciling the guilty. And just in case I misquote, I'm going to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now that is a big long word, and I'm going to break it down because I'll tell you a wee story. Whenever I was wee and young and stupid, maybe not much sense yet, but I wanted to leave school as soon as I could. Oh, I was going to be a farmer, I was going to be own farms, I was going to be this, that and the other, and I could not wait to leave school. And then I left school and I realized I made a bit of a mistake. I shouldn't have left school. It wasn't all it was cracked up to be. So I thought, well, that was a bit stupid. I better make amends for myself and all the rest. So I went to a day release at a technical college. And one of the joys of going there was we had to learn to do accounts. And I was absolutely rubbish at accounts. I absolutely hated accounts. If anybody's trained to be an accountant or was an accountant or knows an accountant, I take my hat off them. I couldn't get the two sides to reconcile. You basically put in all your expenses and outgoings here, all your ingoings on the other side somewhere, and you brought the two down, and the two things had to agree at the end. I think I got it once out of 2 years of trying. I am not an accountant. But this word reconciliation is an accounting term. It basically says the two things don't match. Two things don't match. So we have to do accounts, and we have to balance this side with this side. And that's what reconciling is. Balancing the two things up. Now, so we've already said that God is in heaven, that God is holy, that God cannot look upon sin, and even the thought of foolishness is sin before him. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, one of the prophets said, Lord, if you would mark iniquity, nobody could stand. So we've got God up here, and his holiness, and his righteousness, and his awfulness. He's so holy. And we read, first of all, didn't we, that Jesus was the brightness of God's glory. The express image of his person. That's who Jesus was. He upholds all things by the word of God's power. So the Lord Jesus Christ, here's God up in heaven, and we are down here. And we have got sin, and this sin separates between us and God. This sin is going to cause our death. The wages of sin is death. This sin is not only going to cause our death, it's going to take us to hell. That would be bad. But when hell ends, when death and hell are vomited up, and we stand before an awesome and a holy God, we're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. And ironically, the last book of the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's what God says. So here we are, without God, without hope in this world, heading towards hell, in the lake of fire. And we can't do anything to save ourselves. We can't offer anything to God because God's up there and he's holding us. We can't promise God to do and be anything because we'll fail miserably. We cannot turn over a new leaf because of what is past. We cannot not sin from now to we die and expect to go to heaven because of we were born in sin. So we're on a downward path away from God, into eternity, forever in darkness, forever in that flame where the
the worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. And God is up in heaven. And God is righteous. And as we look up at God and see his holiness, we can see our sins. We can see where we stand before a holy and an awesome God. And we acknowledge that we are guilty. We acknowledge that God is holy. We acknowledge that we cannot do anything to save ourselves. But we cry out for mercy. And what does God do? God's standards are still here. But God is in the world reconciling us to himself. God lifts us up. How does he do that? How does God reconcile us? How does God bring us near? How does God bring us into God's family? Well, it's very simple.
What does it say in verse 19? Give me a second. Verse 19.
God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto him, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Listen to the last verse. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us. Are you getting that?
It can't be any plainer than that. This is, you'll go home today, I've learned a new word, I've learned what reconciliation is. Here's reconciliation before a holy God that we need to listen to and we need to obey. And it says, for he, that's God, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. So God in heaven and his Son, who is equally holy, equal with God, equal in all things with God, God has made him to be sin for us.
What does that mean? Well, that means that all my sins, all my trespasses, and everything that Robert Gray has done wrong in his miserable life, all those sins have been laid on Christ. Are you getting that? So all my sins are laid on Jesus. So God can look on me now and forgive me. God can look at me now and cleanse me if I want to be cleansed. God can look at me and forgive my sins and bring me into his family. God can wipe the slate clean. We read, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and everything's become new. How can that be? How can a holy God look on a rubbish sinner like Robert Gray and reconcile the two? He can do it very simply because he, God, has made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for me. That one, Romans tells us he knew no sin, did no sin, no thought of sin in him. He was holy and separate from sinners. But God in heaven, the Father's business was to make his Son sin. Not to sin, but he's made him sin. That we might receive the righteousness of God in him. The revelation of God. The reach of the gospel. And the reconciliation of the sinner. So if your sins, if you still are in your sins, if you're worried and burdened about your sins, I want to tell you, there's reconciliation. I want to tell you, if you are guilty before God, and the Bible tells me we're all guilty before God, there's no difference. If you're guilty before God, you can be forgiven. If you're sinful before God, you can be cleansed. The old can go and everything become new, because God was in Christ reconciling us to himself. What a message. I'm so excited about the gospel. I could be up here all day, but I'm finishing in 30 seconds or I'll get a row. God was in Christ reconciling us to himself, not imputing our sins Those sins are gone. Where are they gone? They're gone on Calvary's cross. They're gone on the body of Jesus Christ. He's took my sins. He suffered in my place. He was bruised for my transgressions. And with his stripe, Robert Grace healed and Robert Grace reconciled. Robert Grace brought near to God. That is the Father's business. That is the gospel. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you'll live and you'll die and go into a lost eternity. And you'll remember that God loved you. You'll remember that Christ died for you. And you'll remember that you reject. Oh, be wise and trust the Savior even this afternoon. Thank you. Our Father, we just pray to bless thy word, to glorify thy precious Son. Oh, Father, speak into souls, speak into their own lives and the lives of everybody.